We're ready. All right. Okay, everyone, welcome. I will officially call to order the Town of Heath Select Board meeting. Today is Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. It is 5:02 p.m. The meeting is being audio recorded. And quick review of the agenda for everyone. We have an immediate appointment at 5 o'clock with folks from the tech and arts. We're going to hear about the tech school. And then we have a 6:30 appointment. That's with our Conservation Commission. We're going to review some minutes, public comment after all that. And in between, as able, we're going to pop in some other business. We're going to have an appointment for a new town coordinator. That's going to be an exciting thing. We're going to talk about the town coordinator transition plan. We're going to have an update with the Lisa Hilltown Youth Performing Arts. We have a planning board member resignation, unfortunately. We're going to talk about town center court refinishing, surveillance camera policy, generally just starting on that conversation, and Jacobs Road roof update that we might not be able to finish tonight because I don't think we have all the info we need yet. We're going to have some mail. And anything else, Will?
No.
Lisa?
Nope, I'm good, thanks.
Elma?
I think finalizing the STM date. And I don't know if you want to do it tonight or 2 weeks, and I don't know if it makes a difference, but I received an email today from someone who is volunteering to serve on the Cultural Council.
Wow.
Very nice. So I don't know, do you need that person appointed right away?
No, I had asked him to send that at the end of May, but I think he missed that in the communication. But you can hang on to it for your regular appointment period.
Okay.
Oh, so we're not adding it today?
Okay. As long as you can hang on to it and remember it.
We will.
When you're reviewing appointments next spring. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. All right, everybody. So that's what we've got for tonight. We're going to start right off with welcome. Oh, so rules. If you're going to be here chatting, you got to say who you are because of the recording so everybody at home knows who you are. Now, the person who wants that done all the time is actually here tonight, so she knows who's talking. But welcome, Superintendent. How are you? And Art, how are you?
Good.
You guys want to come up here or are you going up to the table? What are you guys doing?
We're going up to the table.
All right.
Look this right up. I was told that you guys had advanced technology over here. So.
Okay.
Didn't we see a milk cord?
While he's doing that.
Oh. No HDML cord. Okay,
I have one. You have one?
A cord,
my
wow.
My son taught me never, ever, ever to travel without one.
That'll win some votes right here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like a
human
kid. There you go.
Thank you.
Now, he's getting hooked up. I would just like to say, if you folks wanted to have an update for the tech school, what's going on there periodically. And I called Rick Martin to catch myself up. The main things, particularly the new courses for veterinarians assistance program and the aviation maintenance program, which is really exciting. And I figured there'd also be questions about the new school. So I called Rick to get the lowdown. He said, well, why don't I come to the meeting? So here he is.
Perfect. Right from the source.
Yeah,
Rick's been here before. He knows where this place is, which is a great thing for us.
Well, I better know because I'm not going to get it through like GPS or anything. You guys are reading up the map for sure.
Let's do a quick reminder about the number of kids that are going from Heath to the tech right now.
Yeah, 19.
19 kids. Just put it out there. I like to redo the reminders because not everybody hears
because
all
the our school grew in population. It used to cost the town of Heath close to $15,000 or $16,000 per pupil to go to school at Franklin County Tech. It now costs $8,889. So the price has dropped a lot over the last 5 years. which is good news. I want to update you quickly on where we are with a new school building project. We are currently in the schematic design phase, so we don't have firm numbers, but I'm going to give you an estimation of what it might look like over a 20 or 30 year bond. I'll tell you where we're at without getting too detailed. Here's where we're struggling. Right now, this right here, the $32 million for the electrical mechanical systems, we had, as Art will be familiar with, we had the electrical switchgear, an old Federal Pacific technology that is in our school, and it kept flickering. And you go, oh, that can't be good. And this happened about 4 years ago. So then we decided to have a special backup switchgear to be built, because they don't make them anymore. It's from the old Federal Pacific. So they took about 2 months. We had a company that does this. They built the electrical switchgear just in case one would fall. That cost us $100,000 to build one. 2 weeks after we got it, the electrical switchgear went out on one of the 15 major panels. If we didn't have the backup ready to go, we would have been out of school for 2 months. Mm-hmm. Then there's no way around that. So, but it happened on a Friday. It took us 24 hours. By Saturday, we were up and running again. No impact to the school. So we went ahead and we bought two more. And that's a lot of money to our town, but we have to stay open. So after we bought the second one, 2 months later, another one went. And we had to reinstall that one. So we have one on standby now. Hopefully we can hold up for the rest of this year. We can't afford to keep spending that kind of money. To rebuild, which is what they're telling us to do, to have a new electrical mechanical system. Now this came from the architects and the OPNs, not from me. It's roughly about $32 million to put a brand new one in. That's going to trigger a sprinkler system. Because once you do a major unit like that, we're grandfathered in, we don't have a sprinkler system. Now we have to be required by law to spend money on a sprinkler system. Abatement of hazard materials. Underneath us, we had to close a wing. Over the last 2 years, we had to close a third of the school for a couple days here and there to find a sewage leak. And a sewage leak in a school, when you have culinary arts, you can't keep the culinary arts open because it wasn't good. We found it by luck. I don't, you know, they tried with the little eye thing. We bought all this equipment. We finally called a company in. They found it right in front of, they just kept digging where one of the sewage holes were, and they found a clog, and that was just by luck. So that whole system to replace, which we'll be needing it because it's already 50 years old, would be $10 million. We also are on our second coat of our roof. By law, we can't put a third coat on. We're on year 10 out of 15. Roof replacement, $17 million now, but you add a 4% escalator, because if we did it, it would be in a slow phase over a number of about 4 or 5 years. And that would probably go up. That's a conservative number. So without doing anything, no MSBA reimbursement, we're going to have to spend $74 million. Without doing a thing to the school. A brand new school construction is $246 million, but the MSBA reimburses it back to the towns about $125 million. So we're kind of talking around $120 to $130 million for a new building. These can only go for 15-year bonds because the banks won't give us a 30-year bond, because we're putting good money into an old school that's going to need other things that are not on the list. Then the architects and the OPNs did an evaluation. What would it take just to keep I'm trying to save money. I'm very cautious of where we're at. This is a lot of money. Any way we shake it. It basically doubled after COVID. That's really aggravating. It really doubled right after COVID. To give our building up to code was $103 million. with no MSBA reimbursement. And that's without, and that doesn't take care of any of the educational problems we have. We got rid of our assembly hall to fit more academic classrooms in, so we don't have that. We're short on the OSHA requirements, the square footage per student as a vocational school. When it was built, that wasn't an issue, but now it is. So here's what I kind of talked about, the 215. I'm going to fly by this. If you have any questions at the end, I'll gladly take them. Here's what we had to choose from. So they got together and they said, just keep the same building updated, $103 million. I showed you $74 million on that without blinking an eyelash. That's no MSBA reimbursement. We looked at this, a renovation. To renovate was more expensive for all the reasons I kind of said. They got to dig everything up and put it back in when it's much easier to take it out and to be able to build new. That's $202 million. The other one that we looked at, the one compact box, which is roughly $196 million in change, and for $500,000 more, we're looking at this, but those are rough estimates, $197 million, but when you add the soft cost and the labor to any of these, you're adding another $50 million onto that. So we went with this after we went, it wasn't necessarily, you know, our one choice. We went through a whole decision-making matrix that the architects and OPMs, these are the items that we took a look at. We eliminated buildings right off the bat. We came to that one. Was, you know, for a lot of reasons, the design was better because if you looked at it, it had that small hallway and a big box in the back. That's like a firewall, all protected, so anything in the shops that are back there won't spread to the rest of the building. The other one was one building, and everything could go into, you know, the main building. So we liked that design, because it made it a lot simpler for us. Here's where it would be located, currently at the baseball field. So we have plenty of land to continue the schooling that we're doing. This is probably 5 years down the road, but just kind of throw that out there. It would be located right there, and we'll keep our new building once we're done. We move everybody into the new building, and that old building becomes the new soccer and the new baseball field. So that's what it would kind of look like. We kept a lot of our other stuff. That would be the tentative design right now, but we're in the schematic design, so we're not finalizing the design. It's just what they're taking a look right now. This is interesting. This is the thing I talked about with COVID. When we look at the old Greenfield High School back in 2012 and 2013, they were $334 per square foot. And they were right here. They were kind of right above the middle of the pack. When you escalate that out to where all these are all MSBA building projects, all the dots that you see here, to where we are, we're actually below the line at $893 per square foot. Some buildings that were built prior to us are 900 or 1,000 or even above that per square foot. Because we didn't get any bells and whistles. We didn't get the big assembly hall. We didn't get a gym that was 1 inch bigger than the gym that we got now. We didn't do an enrollment increase. That was key. One thing I didn't want to do is we have great community relationships with our member schools. Could I have built a building for 800 and be able to fill it? Probably. What's it doing to our community? That's not going to work. All right. We have 650 kids now. We're building the building for 600. We're the only school in the state that actually went below because we have to be economic with our building. Now, they do build any new building to 80% capacity, so we can still technically fit the 650 that we currently have. We can fit up to maybe 680, technically. But we don't want to build it to 700 when we can fit 770, 780. We start to get down that road. So let's try to stop the bleeding when we could. So that's what we're looking at for a price. I kind of talked to it. So basically, we qualify for about 65% reimbursement rate, but they're going to give us about 46, because if we don't get reimbursed for hallways, we don't get reimbursed for office space, we don't get reimbursed for anything that's not an educational space, anything. So, and that takes the actual reimbursement. If you're going to, this is an estimate, a conservative estimate. The actual reimbursement's around 46. It might be about 50. That's probably more realistic. But I wanted to show you where we're currently at. And the estimated cost to the towns is between 129 and 135 after the MSBA reimbursement. And the estimated cost, now, this is a conservative estimate, but it's still worth taking a look at. This would be Heath, a 30-year debt schedule would look something like this, in that vicinity per year, annual cost. Right now we have, what, 19 students from Heath at $8,890 per pupil. If the students choose to go to another school, the average in our area right now is about $14,000 per student. And if they were going to go, and if Franklin County Tech did not exist, we would be talking about $57,000 to $82,000 if they went to Smith Oak. That's what it would be, depending on what the choice is. So it's, I want to get out in front of it. We just got these figures not too long ago, so I'm trying to get out to all of our 19 member towns next October, November, sometime in that time frame. They haven't nailed it down, would be a district-wide vote, and that would be to either vote for the new building or not vote for the new building. And once we lose out on the MSBA, it's very difficult to get back into that pool. It could take 10 years or 15 or maybe not. But we'll have to figure it out. But we still have to spend like $74 million, like I showed you, the bare minimum without the MSBA. So we still have some issues. Timelines, this is what we're looking at. We're currently right around here. We're looking at a district vote. They say September, but that might be October, November, but sometime in here. But the actual building won't be occupied until 2030. That's what we would be looking at sometime in that time frame. So that's the news I needed to get out here to tell you about, to take any questions that you may have. As we're still in a schematic design, so nothing's exactly firm. But I think the numbers are close. I'm not going to like say that, you know, that they're going to be totally drastically different. They may be a little lower, but they're not going to be drastically lower. It's expensive any way you shake it. So it's equivalent to about 10 students from Heath. You know, if we had 10 students to Heath instead of 19, it'd be about the same price per year. So it depends on what those numbers actually are. And I don't know if, given the new lottery system, how that impacts our enrollment just yet. We haven't experienced it. So this year coming up is the first year that we go through the lottery system as well. As far as any questions on this right now, I mean, I'll be back again in, when you do your budget season, when I come out to present kind of where we're at. And if you think of some more questions along the way, please feel free. I'll be back presenting shortly. I won't be as long as I am tonight, sorry.
That's great.
But I think it's important information to get ahead of it. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
So when they went through the cost estimating for the new building, was that all costs? I mean, I think people ask, were that all costs involved, or is that just the cost for the building? Does that involve, for instance, the demolition of the old building?
Everything.
Oh, right.
Everything. It involves absolutely everything, the new fields, everything. So that would involve absolutely everything at that point in time. So that's where we're at. I also want to just update you on the aviation. We were slated in the first week of October to get FAA certification, which will then enable us to, the student, to accrue hours. Then there was this thing called a government shutdown. They're not coming out until this is over. So we're just, we're in a holding pattern, to use an aviation term, until they can come out and inspect our new hangar, which looks beautiful. We had 500 people here on Thanksgiving, on the Thanksgiving that's coming up, on Halloween, and we did the trick, or the trek at Tech. It's a little thing. We had free families. We get candy, and everyone dresses up, and then we're inside the hangar. So each station had where kids could go by and get candy, and our students were dressed up and what have you, and they went around the exterior of the interior of the hangar. So they got to see the airplanes in the middle. They got to see, you know, it was kind of cool, a little bit different way of doing it, and it showcased the new 12,000 square foot hangar, which that did not come from any town assessment. That was a competitive grant, which we received. We were one of 11 either universities or high schools to receive that in the entire state. So that came from money that we were competitive on, and we got that 12,000-foot hangar and the $1.5 million worth of equipment and training modules so students can come out of there and earn a very good livable wage between $50,000 and $80,000 a year and work anywhere in the country. So we're excited about the direction that's going to be going. Our new veterinary animal science program is very important to this community. That's growing, by the way. That's a fully enrolled shop. It's a 4,800 square foot facility that we got through competitive grants for the most part. And we did that way under budget. $1.2 million. You couldn't do that if you built it yourself. That was a great initiative that we were able to do. And we're going to expand. I write the grants for the district. So I just finished a $2.5 million grant to get an agricultural bond with an in-vessel composting container and all new equipment. We're going to expand our animal science beyond just the veterinary and make it a full agricultural school. Where are we going to put that, right? Well, we happen to own 11 acres across the street on Industrial Boulevard, in which 4 acres are kind of buildable. So we are doing a land swap with the town of Montague. We're going to get 11 or 12 acres of the town, which they're never going to use, which is beyond the baseball field. Nice flat land that needs to just be cut down. They're going to get our land, which they can put one or two businesses on, collect tax dollars from. So it's a win-win from both. So we're working on that as soon as we receive approval of the grant. Don't know if we're going to get it. They've been giving us a lot of money, competitive grants. So I don't know. We're already on the lower end of the spectrum on that one. So that's the update for the new programs and the school and the enrollment. Is there anything else that people have a question on? I know there's a bus issue as well we're going to talk about.
I was going to say, did you know the one thing that was coming?
Yes. Yeah.
I had a question about like classes and stuff. Like, I don't remember if having like business classes or anything like that. That's something I would love for you guys to incorporate.
So we did have a business technology program about 8, 9, 10 years back. It was very poorly enrolled. We were having 2 kids, 4 kids. We couldn't justify keeping it open. So we closed that program, and that's how we were able to open up these other programs. As far as the business end of things, we have something, we have for our juniors and seniors, we have something called career enhancement. And that is resume building, job shadowing, job fairs. They go on live interviews. They get certain amount of points by going up and doing the handshake exercise, eye contact, tone of voice, the way that you're dressed, all that kind of stuff. So they have to learn all those soft skills. And so there's a lot of practice, and they learn how to set up their checking account, their business account. So we have that part of the curriculum for juniors and seniors that is that's pretty vibrant. That one is very, very practical and hands-on because kids can walk out and be able to implement those skills right away. Yes.
Do you have any more room for aircraft donations?
I'm trying to step back from that because I've been running the show there. So I'm trying to get step back and let my vocational director and aviation instructor kind of take the lead. So I don't know. I know we do have a plane coming in that was a donation. So that's good news. So I think we're going to probably slow that down a little bit until we get up and running because we have one instructor now. Next year we'll have two instructors. You know, so we slowly build it year by year with the kids coming in. I want to address the bus issue if I could. All right. We have this bus issue up on 8A towards Vermont where we have a student that has to go, a student to, lovely boys by the way, that have to travel 3.2 miles down to a bus stop in like the middle of Charlemont, I believe, right?
It's actually just up the road here. It's at 8A and number 9.
8A and number 9.
My husband drives up to Charlemont, though, to get on the bus.
Right,
it's
right.
It's quicker.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're going to try to avoid that. So we were made aware of it about 1 week ago or so, and I've been working with the bus company. And when those things happen, I'm pretty adamant. They need to not let our students walk beyond the 2 miles. Sorry. And on that road, I just drove it before I came in. That's not even a road I would want to even put my own child to be able to walk on. So I have a big problem with that, right? So I got on the phone with John Harris, who I think is contacted you yesterday, and was very nice to him, told him that stuff. They pushed back a little bit about how it's going to affect the time and all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, that's, you're going to have to figure something out, you know, because we're going to make it happen. It has to happen because it's too far. You're breaking the law, and you don't want the other end of that. So send me what you're going to do so I can send it off to our attorney. It's pretty much what I said. And then all of a sudden, things got put into motion. It's funny when that happened. That wasn't a vague threat. That's exactly what I was going to do, right? So now he's saying, hold off, hold off. I'm going to work something out. I'm driving up there. I'm going to do the turnaround. I'm going to see if we can do it. I go, they had an older sibling that went to us for 4 years, and they picked up at State Farm Road and turned around. What's changed? The only thing that I know that's changed is that little area got tarred. Right?
Right.
That's, it actually improved our odds. It didn't hurt it. So I was, I drove it myself. I go, yeah, this shouldn't be an issue. Well, we have to check for telephone poles, snow. Okay, you can do your thing. But it might push these other kids from getting up here at 5:50. They go, no, it shouldn't. It's still a 6:11 pickup. This bus 3 arrives at 7. They don't know I do my homework before I get these conversations, right? This bus comes at 7:40 a.m. School doesn't start until 8. So if they come at 7:50, 7:55, I can just extend the free breakfast for those students who get off the bus, and they come a few minutes late to homeroom, we'll just adjust their schedule. It's not going to impact anything. I just don't want the kids getting up too early, you know? So I understand that that does happen in some of these areas, but we'll keep the time close. Maybe it's a 6:05 pickup or something, but it's not going to be 5:50. That's ridiculous. So I told John that, and so they're working on it. They're, like, right on it. So I should know more definitely by the end of the week. And John Palumbo, our student service director, has been in contact with you, and he'll continue to do so. So we want to resolve it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And the other thing that I said in, you know, the meantime, if you're driving, send us a bill, pay $50 a day. All right? So, seriously.
One part of that, if I lived in Charlemont, I would be mad on that end because those kids in the afternoon, they're on the bus for 2 hours also.
Right.
And there's a lot of Charlemont parents who actually drive to the parking lot just to get their kids early.
Yeah, we can't control that for one major reason.
Okay.
We have a regional agreement with 19 member towns. Charlemont's not one of them.
Okay.
So they're not a member town. They actually pay more.
Okay.
Heath pays $8,889. Shalimon pays about
$27,000. And
what
about Charles?
Are they in there? No, they're not in either.
Because that's what we're doing. We're sharing with those accounts. And it's like, let them have their own bus, and we'll have our own bus.
Right.
And then our kids are not on the bus for as long. Because honestly, I'm not the only one who meets there. There's a woman who's like on Sherman Drive. I think she's 2.5 miles from the bus stop.
What town is she from?
Here. She lives in here.
Okay, so those are the things, as soon as it comes to our attention, those are the things we have to address.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm not the only one. I guess I'm just the only one to complain. Although I did ask a bunch
of people. It's not complaining. You're advocating for what's right.
I don't know if you got it.
That's like, you're advocating for what's right. That's not a complaint. That should come to our attention. But it's not our attention. It should come. I know you tried to contact the bus company. You had no luck, right?
No luck.
You got deaf ears. I heard about your struggles trying to contact the bus company. Deaf ear goes, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'll call.
Thank you.
Right? And so now we got something at least in the works. I can't guarantee anything right now here tonight, but I'm pretty adamant that we're going to get something a lot better than what we currently have.
That's great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can we ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the lottery acceptance, enrollment, whatever it's called. Is I assume students that are interested still have to apply or indicate that they're interested.
Correct.
And all those names go in like one big pot?
So what we did, for transparency's sake, that's a great question because a lot of people don't know this, is there's a third-party company called GoCTE, which is a lot of the Volk schools are using, so that we're not responsible for putting the names in the hat and saying, oh, okay, it is. Okay, that one belongs to us. It's done through a third-party computer system. So all the applications go to CTE, and then they draw them from there. So it's pretty fair. We did a unweighted lottery. You heard a lot in the news about the weighted lottery and the unweighted lottery. The weighted lottery, to me, was a huge facade on the part of the state. I'll say it. I said it to them straight to their face, so that doesn't bother me. And I say it's a facade because it was their way of saying, you see, you can still include school discipline. You can still include attendance. You cannot. We went back over the last 10 years. We had no students who applied. We had more than 27 absences. So their criteria is 27 absences. Well, that student doesn't exist for us who's applied. 27 absences. So then if you have less than 27, you get an extra ping pong ball. Then if you have no 37H and a half violations, I looked in the last 10 years, we had 3 students who applied who had them. What's a 37H and a half violation? You bring a gun or a knife to school, or you threaten a teacher to kill them or another student to kill them. They're pretty serious, right? We had 2 or 3. And so now those kids get extra, you get extra, but we don't get to that. So I'd rather, and plus, if you do a weighted lottery, you now have to have an appeals process. You have to hire with district funds that come out of our town assessments an appeals officer in charge of a board, in charge of a committee, as soon as you go with the weighted lottery. We said, no, go with an unweighted lottery. We're going to get the same results. So it was a facade on the part of the state. And if they fire me over that statement, I don't care. Because, it's just not, it is not good. Any other questions? Did that answer it for the lottery?
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah?
I'd just like to mention that this issue came up a few months ago to the school committee. And the school committee voted not to support it. And they sent a letter to the state saying, not a good idea.
Yeah.
But it happened anyway, so. But Rick's anyway, he's trying to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
And I just one other thing to say is you're looking at a 24-hour day, 7 days a week performer. This guy dreams, lives, eats.
I love it.
He travels tech school. And you can tell from the way he talks, he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And much of that stuff that doesn't cost the town you can thank him for the applications that went in and got the grants.
Thank you, Bob.
I just wanted to compliment you on the car show and Bob McGann over here, and I went to it.
Oh, yeah.
It talked about making tech visible to the communities around us, and it was amazing. I'd never been to the tech campus before.
Oh, wow.
Well, everybody should go.
Yes.
Check it out.
I'm looking forward to legislators' breakfast this year.
There you go.
For their food.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Thank you very much
for
coming.
Thank
greatly
you.
Appreciated. We look forward to seeing you again.
Yep.
When we get to talk dollars and cents. Did you have other stuff, Art?
No.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
I wish I had another idea, but I have to save her.
I know.
This
is
amazing.
This is
one
easy
thank
for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And very exciting.
It is.
So.
Thank you.
All right. What time is it? 5:38. We've got a little
thank
bit of
you.
Time.
We'll keep going at it. We'll
get it done. So, select board, let's slide in review of minutes, please. Okay. We got these? All right, so we're going to take a look at the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes from October 21st, 2025. Alisa?
Yes.
Okay.
Page 2. The fourth paragraph from the bottom. The paragraph starts with deliberations and so forth. When we get down to the bolded portion about it says a motion by Alisa Vieringo and a second by Alisa Vieringo. I know I'm good, but I think I'm allowed to do that. You want me to do that? I don't think I'm allowed to do that.
Thank you. You're not two people?
I'm not two people. So I have that. And then on the third page, third paragraph down that starts with FY 2025 special accounts. At the end, the first sentence doesn't read quite. I don't know what it's saying.
Oh, did not have.
Okay, did not have activity.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I had.
Will.
I had one thing. It looks like for Lisa. Got one of the things I was going to do,
yep.
But there's a second, and it's more stylistic. So the first page, Coleraine Select Board is first, second, third paragraph down, where it says, such district formation has recently been accomplished by Leverett and Wendell and Leiden and Berniston. I thought, and Leiden with Berniston, because you have and too many times in these sentences.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good one. That's not stylistic. I think that's
It's a picky.
I think it's better.
That's fine.
Would
nine
you like it
Lisa.
Leverett with Wendell
yeah.
as
yes.
well?
Yeah.
And two whiz and one and?
I don't know.
Leiden with
Bernice. Yeah. I'm just going to say Leiden with Bernice and just leave it at that.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm sad I had Alisa. Mm-hmm. Okay. So can I have a motion, please, to accept the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes as amended October 21st, 2025, as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Alisa, aye.
Will, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to pop down. Oh, no, wait a minute. We can do public comment. Wait a minute. Let me see what
time. What
time
is it?
It's 5:41. Public comment.
We can start
public comment. Huh?
I said we can start it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have a public comment. Whenever I drive by that big, beautiful salt ship, I feel very grateful to our select board, Noma, Tyson, the highway department, but especially you for all your hard work to make that happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay. Yay, everybody. Yay. We have a salt shed. And we found ways to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like a big deal, too. No one has seen anything that they had to vote to raise extra monies to fund this.
Yeah.
The guys who worked on the site are all the ones that get real the big kudos because and continue to work on the site because we're not done yet. But we're getting there. We're getting there. And it's good. It's good. Things are going to be working out fine with it, right, Tyson?
Perfect.
Yeah. So we'll see. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Other comments, public comment. Jesse.
2 years ago, you guys decided to slice the road crew by 25%.
Wait, talk louder.
I'm so sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, 2 years ago, you guys decided to slice the road crew by 25%. Well, the board, not you three, but the board decided to cut the road crew by 25%. They fired Mike, who was a 15-year record. And ever since then, the road plowing has been untimely and not well done at all. I don't blame the road crew at all for that. I think it's a problem with the priorities. I've had to call my daughter and told my daughter she can't go to work because the roads aren't plowed. She works at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. I've driven home in the snow and only just turn around and drive right back to the same tracks on my way to work the next day. Last Thanksgiving, the roads weren't plowed. We had 10 to 12 inches of heavy, heavy black snow that was impossible to drive on. And our road wasn't plowed until 4:40 p.m. And we weren't able to make it over to my in-law's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And it was an exceptionally important Thanksgiving because my mother-in-law had recently been diagnosed with FTD, early onset, and it's a form of dementia. And we were worried that it was could be the last Thanksgiving she remembered. I think it was a horrible decision to slash the road through, and I think it goes to the lacking priorities.
Okay.
And I can go again, but before I go, you guys have any questions for me?
No, but we will take the comment under advisement and have, you know, that'll come up in budget season.
Yeah.
You know, budget season's unbelievably right around the corner, so we'll certainly be talking with Tyson. And Tyson was able to hear you right there because he's sitting right in front of you. Yeah. So we'll be able to, you know, continue on with the conversation at budget season and, you know, it'll be posted when actually Tyson will be in here for his budget talk, so if you want to come back during that meeting, that'd be great. But if not, I've got the note. We're going to talk about it. And
I mean, we've heard about it there for 15 years. We knew the road was up back to me.
Well,
it's clear that
we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah. Road here, but when you put somebody that signed up in an area they're not familiar with, of course, it's going to take a while to get familiarized with the road. That's why it was so important to keep the, you know, the people with the execution knowledge.
Jesse, may I ask what roads those were?
Oh, Row Road and Beach Road, and not Road.
Row and?
Not.
Not? Thank you.
But the fact that you don't have any other questions for me, I think, is very telling. Because I'm the subject of Helma's complaint. And the idea that I was harassing her is completely fabricated.
But that's, so, yeah, we don't, in well, public well, comment.
We had all kinds of time to get a hold of me. I didn't tell Helma about the my mother-in-law being sick, but I did tell her all about the road stuff, and I'd be curious to see if that's in the complaint, and I'd be curious to see if she told you
Jesse.
What she said to me.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else with public comments? Yes?
I like these chairs.
Is that one? I like the chairs.
Yeah, and number two, the construction sign down by, I don't know, West Branch Road, there's like black plastic over it, and it's the bridge guide. It's like blown off, so you can read the sign now, which you shouldn't be able to because it says road closed. So can you tell them to go cover
it? I told them that the other day because
okay.
It blew off.
Yeah, okay.
And went, that
okay.
Benefit for
yeah, okay. That's fine.
Thanks, Emma. Anybody else?
Oh, one other thing.
Sure.
I don't think Pat's had a chance to put the last meeting's recording up yet because she was waiting for the okay to do that.
I did put it up.
Oh, you did? Because I looked yesterday.
Oh.
I didn't see it yesterday.
Oh, well then.
Anyway, okay.
It might be, you know,
okay.
Dementia something.
Okay.
I'll check. Thank you.
Thanks.
Maybe.
Bubble.
Oh, you know, it is up there. It's him.
Oh, okay.
I love him.
Okay. Very cool.
Anybody else? Comment, public comment? Nothing? All right, thank you. All right. Now we're going to go into other business. Oh, Mia's still here.
Don't you have your thing?
Oh, what time is it?
It's time.
Thanks for reminding me. Well,
sure.
Only because your name just came up. So if you want to do a quick motion while she's here, she'll actually... So we had we have an appointment to make. That's our next item.
Okay.
We have an appointment to make for the town coordinator position, an official appointment to make for the town coordinator position. At a starting rate, I don't have it right in front of me.
I know, now you're killing me.
$35.10. So, do you want to make a motion, Elisa?
I'm trying to make the motion. I have all the information in front of me.
You don't have to read, just...
I know, but I want to make sure I get her name right.
Yeah.
Bam.
Right.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to offer the town coordinator position. Appoint.
We do
sure
this.
You want me to do this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. To appoint. And of course, her last name is not in front of me.
Mia.
Friend. Francesconi. To the town coordinator position with a starting salary rate of $35.10 for the 40-hour work week.
And a 90-day.
And we will do a 90-day, that's also a probationary period.
Sure.
We'll review after that.
Correct. Yes.
What else needs to be included?
With a starting date.
With the starting date of Monday, December 8th.
2025. And what else? I think that's everything for the appointment.
That was not graceful.
No, it's good. It was beautiful. Can I have a second?
Sorry,
second.
All right, now discussion. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add?
So many things. Just that I'm really excited about this opportunity, although it also means that we are transitioning Hilma out of employment. So we kind of have a gratitude, blessings, and thank you so much thing happening. But I'm excited for Mia, and I'm also excited for Hilma for this new chapter that she will be entering.
Well said.
Yeah.
Very good.
I can't really add to that.
I know. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That
was beautiful.
All right. All in favor?
Elisa, aye.
Will,
aye. Robin, aye. Welcome, Mia.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody, this is Mia. All right. And just so folks know, yes, December 8th is the starting date. As of right now. It's going to be a little fluid as we see how things work for Mia with closing out of the job that she currently holds. She's going to give her notice. And Hilma has continued to graciously say that she is willing to work with us with her end date. So right now that's a little fluid, but it'll be sometime the end of the year, beginning of the first of 2026. And then she'll be staying on as needed with Mia in conversation. And we'll come back to us as a consultant when needed. We're going to have a, because we did set aside some money, if everybody remembers, at ATM for this very purpose. So we're going to be able to continue to have Hilma work as long as she's willing and as long as Mia needs her and as long as the select board needs her.
How about that? I added that in there.
There you go. Oh, she didn't agree to that earlier, but I just added it in. And it's very exciting and sad, but exciting and sad.
Yes.
So together. And then Hilma gets a little bit of a break, and then we just start going after her for a lot of positions that are
still available for. Let's
say, it looks like the planning board is losing somebody.
Did I let you know I'm moving out of the country?
No. You did not say that.
You're going to take your recliner and go?
Yes, that's it.
Did not say that. But thank you, Mia, for coming
thank
in.
You
thank
yeah.
you for accepting yeah. the position. It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
And, for me it's going to be sad, too, because...
I know, we have...
Yeah, big change. It's
yeah.
big change. But you're going to have some of you that are here and some of you that will maybe be listening and others There's going to be meetings set up in December between Hilma and Mia and possibly a select board member and department heads to do a little introductory, to review job requirements between the two positions, between the department head and town coordinator, so everybody's on the same path moving forward, hopefully to make things as easy as possible with what is going to be a difficult transition, not because of the people or anything, but it's very challenging when you have somebody new. So we're going to do everything we can to try to make it as easy as possible. And that's what I got. What about you, Will? Anything? Elisa, anything else?
No, just excited for both of these individuals for what lays ahead. And very grateful to both of them.
Anything to add?
I'm going to start plowing roads.
You don't have a CDL.
I don't need
you
to.
You don't need it with the small truck.
No, you don't need it with the small truck.
Okay.
The brand new small truck.
Huh. That would be hysterical.
Table that.
I think it would be perfect. Thank you, Mia.
Thank
I know you,
you
have to leave too, but
you
got a little bit of time still.
Zoom meeting.
Okay.
I don't really have more time.
Okay.
You can Zoom in the other room if you want.
Yeah,
you can if you.
Right.
If it's easier to Zoom from here, but okay.
So that's kind of the, that's our vote, and that's the transition plan update all together, wrapped up.
I think we got it.
For now. A lot more to come. We'll keep people in the loop. You'll start to see Mia, because she's going to start coming to meetings, so you'll actually start seeing her around the building, and she's got a lot to learn, a lot of faces. Reminder who you are all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, don't be shy, introduce yourself.
This group of people are the core group that you'll see on a regular basis.
Perfect.
Barbara in the front, who does the recordings. Pat, who has been doing Heath Connects, but she at one point said she might be done at some point.
Well, I thought when Hilma retired, it might be a good time for me to.
Might. I heard that before.
Weren't
you here?
To keep it going.
Well, maybe Devin, you often at these meetings.
Devin listens to them.
Devin is the person who listens. Yeah, she listens all the time. Shows up.
Asks questions. Asks very pertinent questions.
And Bob back there, Bob, he is in his, we call it, what is it?
The bubble?
Bubble of positivity.
I love Bob.
Most of the time.
I do. No, it doesn't matter. Even what? That you're most of the time in your bubble?
He's also a finance committee.
He is on the
when
finance
he's not
committee.
In his bubble, he's in finance committee.
Oh my
he's
God. On the finance committee.
So this is a group that you see a lot right here.
And Madison.
I think they met each other already,
yes.
Didn't they?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Pardon me.
And I knew she knew Tyson, so I wasn't worried about that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember she officially met some of the folks here.
But I don't know if she realizes that Pat and Bob go together.
Yeah, they're they're two.
Yep.
Oh, they might not want to have us to have said that. You never know.
Sorry.
Even though they
you
drive
make
separate,
the connections.
Yeah. Drive here separately.
Only separate cars.
Billy and I drive separate cars quite a lot.
You do.
We do.
All right.
They're their own mobiles, anyway.
Yes, they are. They are their own mobiles.
She's going to hold a couple other things because it's being recorded.
Yep.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Is a very quick snippet, too, I think, other than I could say Hilltown Youth Performing Arts lease has been signed.
It has been signed.
I have them for you to sign.
All right, so what?
Yes.
Yeah,
they have been signed.
Will and I were there to meet with Jonathan and Hilma, and, pardon me, and we signed, and...
It was uneventful.
I made sure that there are no questions or concerns, and that he was clear the terms of the lease. He seemed to be comfortable with that, and we're going to move forward.
Okay.
And he's going to pay half the security deposit December 1st and half January 1st.
If not sooner, but we did have a verbal agreement and allowed for that.
Okay.
Whatever.
And the list of to-dos is to be done by the 15th of this month.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Has anything been done?
I was going to do a walkthrough on Friday.
They took the trash out.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to do a walkthrough on Friday and provide you with an update.
Beautiful.
Okay.
We'll shoot out a reminder.
Yep. So that
time of ticker, correct?
On our side is crystal clear. That was the responsibility that I wanted to take on, and I'm going to follow up on it.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for coming over, seeing him, and getting the signature. Thank you, Jonathan, for coming and getting it signed.
Oh, and do we have a DocuSign with Laura?
Not yet. But she emailed me that her printer was out of ink, and she didn't have some of the technology and that she needed to just do it and send it back.
Okay. Did she say when she would be doing that?
Probably not. Soon.
That's not a TV show. When? Soon.
How soon?
Soon.
Sorry, I have such issue with soon. I don't know what your last communication with her is, but if maybe we could do a follow-up and say, okay, what day do you expect to turn this in? Or show up and get it signed, or...
You can send it to me. I can do that. I got no problem.
Fine.
If you want me to.
Okay, so you'll pass that on to Robin, and Robin will get it firm.
At what point are you going to turn all the stuff over to her?
Well, I think that it's going to continue that the two local... people here that show up, we're going to give the information and I'll do the emails.
Okay. So that we're all in the loop and all participating and all staying on top of things. I think it's going to be a team effort.
I say local when I really meant the two people that are here all the time because I have to go to...
I didn't even want to use that word, retired, but I'll use it, okay.
I think you still live here too, so you're local.
I meant local to the area all day long. Meaning, local to this building. Like, you can come here.
I can.
That's what I mean. Both of you can. I can. I'd like to, though.
It's a lovely building.
I'd like to be here on a regular basis.
So we'll be boots on the ground and we'll communicate.
Yep.
As we promised.
It's great. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Very, very good. Next one's a little sadder. Is that happening? Do we actually have
we
a...
We do have it.
I will
read it.
Okay, so we have a planning board member resignation, and Hilma's going to read that for us.
Okay, dated November 4th, 2025, Heath Select Board. Regretfully, I will be stepping down from my place on the planning board while I take my commitment to the board and the town seriously. I will be stepping down effective immediately due to personal reasons. Sincerely, Bill Fontes.
Okay. So, I have to accept that. I guess, do you want to make the motion or you want Will to? You're on the planning board and you're... You want me to do it?
Yeah.
As the chair? Okay, so I will move... on behalf of the select board, that we accept the resignation from Bill Fontes from the planning board, effective immediately. And we do so with very deep regrets. It's very sad that, but completely understandable. And we just, all well wishes to Bill. And we'll fill that position, hopefully with someone that can come halfway up as good as Bill has done for the town. So, and we'll look forward to when Bill decides to get back involved again, which we know will happen. So that is my motion. That's what I have moved. Can I get a second?
I will second that.
All right. Is there anyone who would like to make a comment? Hearing none?
Well, I'll just say that I know that as he said in his note, did not come to this decision lightly.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Heath means everything to him, and he wants to be able to serve at his best. And right now, he can't offer that.
Yeah.
And
there's absolutely no explanation needed.
Yeah.
We do what we can when we can.
Yeah.
Right. But he's here.
Yeah. That's great. step back forward when you can. All right. All in favor?
Will I?
Alisa, I. Rob and I. Thank you. And you'll send a note, Emma, please.
I'll write it and have you guys sign it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't quite recall how much time is left on Bill's. And we don't need them right now.
No. Well, at this point, it goes to select board appointment till the next town election, and then it will be an elected position for the remainder of her term, which I almost think will be 3 years at that point.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Okay. So I guess as I understand the planning board's meeting, or some of you are.
Yeah, we're meeting next week.
Okay.
Because obviously the chair cannot be there.
Right.
He's not, so
yeah.
The three of us.
Three are going to meet. So if you know of someone who's interested in an appointment for the remaining portion till our elections, we can maybe bring that up at the meeting, and then let us know. And until then, you work as, well, three for now, and then four, hopefully, in the sooner.
No margin there at all.
Right. And we do need to, so luckily, at least with the three, you can keep your voting going. But we just do have to stay on the items that we have hanging out. Well, not we, but the planning board does, right?
Yes.
So as of right now, Gemma, are we still moving forward? The planning board's moving forward with their postings and everything, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
To revote the bylaw changes, yes, they are moving forward with that.
Okay, so at your meeting, obviously if there's issues, bring them back to
us. Yes, I will.
If we can do anything, I mean, we're not that position, but if there's something we can do or assistance that's needed, obviously, we'll do what we have to. And then, we'll just have to see how the rest of the fiscal year goes, whether or not we have anything else to introduce when it comes time for ATM, but we really should have ADUs.
The planning board needs to have some more changes to vote on the ADUs and the there's been changes to the solar, and there's the solar with the battery storage stuff.
Right.
It's all changed.
Yep.
So my hope is that depending on what happens in the next month or so, if wherever you guys find yourself, if you know by January that you're going to be struggling because of the numbers that are there or just abilities, which is all fine, and it's not a bad thing, but it would be better to know we need help in January than in March.
Yeah.
Because we can get help.
They
just need to do it.
Right. And the consequence, if there aren't changes, it reverts to whatever the state law is.
Right.
So.
Well, which with the ADUs is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Basically. Yes, it's going to be.
Right. But concerning solar applications and
some of that might
clean
have
energy,
right.
You know, it reverses the state.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Want to be very close to that.
Yeah. And we'll try to keep that on our little ticker through December 2 to keep asking. Okay, great. And let's see, how are we doing on time here?
6:06.
6:06, so plenty of time. Town center court refinishing.
Okay, so you have Parks and Rec had gotten a quote, which is in your mail, from Vermont Recreational. And I guess unless Pat has more information to clear it up. What I believe happened is this company put the quote in, and then they came back and asked Pat what were the prevailing wages. And my response, and Mike Cucciar was copied in all of this, so he was in, was that it seems like they're doing it backwards. You find out what, if you're going to pay prevailing wages, you find out what prevailing wages are first, and then you base your quote on what it's going to cost you. And my last question was, is this quote based on prevailing wage? And if so, why are they asking what it is or what? And I don't think that's really been cleared up.
It hasn't been cleared up. When I first contacted her, she said when she was going to bid the project, she would have to use prevailing wages. And at that time, she didn't ask what the prevailing wages were, but she was well aware that she had to use them.
Yeah, but so if you don't know what they are, you can't put in an accurate bid.
Unless their rates that they quote out at is high enough that it covers.
Yeah, well,
and they
okay.
did the roll court, so they had to use prevailing wages.
Of the yeah,
to
so
do
sometimes
the reports.
People will do that.
Okay,
they'll use
maybe
what they think it is, but then they need it exact.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I guess so.
So if the contract were to be signed, then they're committed to that contract and they have to deal with prevailing wages, I would think. I don't know. I mean, they're aware of them, certainly.
Yeah, and there's also the question. Well, to me, there's also the question of should Parks and Rec get more than one quote? It's like, yes, Roe used this company and they did an excellent job. That doesn't mean they're the only company that does an excellent job. And I don't know. I'm just raising the question.
Well, that was going to be what I asked because of the amount that it is. I guess it's
something
under the...
It's under the limit.
50.
Yes, for getting the three quotes. I can say typically anything in this price range he tries to get
more than one quote. And if we make the call and no one else will quote, then that's fine. We've made the attempts. But we usually try to.
Right.
I did get two names from Tyson and I have sent out information. I have used their contact form, and one hasn't gotten back to me, and the other has, and I have to give them more information.
So, can this wait till the next meeting, or is there a?
Yes, it can wait till the next meeting.
If we have another price, to.
It's just the sooner we get decided, the sooner we get in the queue for the summer. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, certainly it can wait another 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think that would be good. And I think that we probably should get the prevailing wage, obviously, to them. And there should be some type of a note on here that they're paying that, just so we have that in their proposal. Mm-hmm. Or an email attached to it or something. However, if you could get them to say
okay.
Yes. Yes, we've covered prevailing wage.
Okay.
I don't see that. And a lot of times we will see it, but... Okay, so they're doing an overlay. Do they know? I see a note on here about shimming. Clean total surface, fill the cracks. I haven't been on that court in forever, so I don't know. There's a note here that says price does not include shimming of low spots. Does it need it? Do you know if there's a lot of low spots on that court? Yes, there is.
Yes, there's ponding.
But then it says pave 1.5-inch overlay over entire court surface. So do they need to shim it plus do the overlay? Is that pretty much what they're saying?
You know, the person who was assigned this communication is perhaps somewhat ignorant about what's required.
So I can follow up with this person if you want me to.
That would be really helpful, but, you know, I hate adding anything onto your...
Yeah, but this is easy stuff for me. If you give me the email, is there an email?
Sure.
Yeah. You could copy me right into it, and I can ask those questions.
That would be wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's an easy one for me. Just so we know if there's extra cost on top of this for that shimming. And then, so this is going to get covered. How much was the grant?
Well, I think we put in for $25,000.
Oh, that's right.
$23,900.
Yeah, okay. All right.
No.
$23,500.
Oh, sorry. What was the grant? The grant wasn't $23,900. The quote was $23,900.
I thought the grant was $25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that will cover this. Less the shimming.
Again, I will go back to...
The grant was $25,000. And then I thought I heard you say, and we got $23,900.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the quote. I mean, obviously, I am not the man for this job.
No, I think you're doing fine.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
I think you're doing fine.
You're broadening your horizons.
That's why I always say I'm willing to help. Now, because it's good. This is. I just want to make sure that we have enough money in the pots. Because we have the grant plus the other pots that we have. So,
yeah,
but it sounds like we do.
We're seeking funding.
Right.
I just didn't. I was hoping we didn't have to empty the coffers of Parks and Rec.
Right.
But I think we can. We have over $1,000 towards this project so far. From the pickleball clinic and donations that we've gotten, I think $1,000.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you. All right, so yeah, and I don't mind if you want to copy me in to the other company, whoever it is. So if there's questions I have, I can just ask them so we have all the information. Then I can share it with them for the next meeting and we'll all be on the same page.
Okay.
You good with that?
I'm fine with that. Was there information that was sent to all of us about this and what you've been talking about? I'm like searching my email and I cannot
find
it. It's in the mail.
What do you mean?
It's in the mail. Oh, okay, as far as the shimming and the costs.
It's the second item in the mail.
Looking all over for it. Okay, so we've got it.
Yep.
Alrighty.
It's from Vermont or VT.
And we only had
VT Recreational.
And we only had mail part one.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's the second item after.
I just went through it and I couldn't find it.
Well, you must have zipped.
I must have zipped right through it.
Go back to the communications back and forth with from Mike Ruggiero.
Yeah,
that's the first item. It's right after that.
Okay.
I sent the mail Monday.
Yep, I downloaded the mail and I was trying to, and I saw that there were some other discussions with Mike. I'm like, where is the court stuff?
It's just a one pager in there and. Just reading it's a proposal for the work.
Okay.
And just to back to my level of confusion, what I asked for Tyson from was for a different proposal grant. So I will have to start from scratch again about contractors.
Well,
so I was looking for excavation and concrete. And that's what I got from Tyson.
Oh, okay.
Not anything.
I might have. I think. I don't. I haven't done this before.
Somebody did do the asphalt for the.
I was going to say there's the paving company that just did the salt shed.
Salt shed. Yeah, but I didn't ask.
That does little paving projects.
Right, but they might
find that.
They might not do this.
It's specialized.
Because this is a different resurfacer.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well,
I think they just do blacktop.
That's a special surface.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that they may. Some people may, but not most of them. If they do asphalt.
Right, but I was going to, it's another company that can be reached out to and find out do they do it or not.
That might be a first step if they were in to send it and level it.
Yeah.
And then you could get, you'd select another company and then put that coating on.
Right. And I might have someone in their Rolodex, too. I can even reach out for another. Barbara?
I'm just curious who gave the positive review, who said that they did an excellent job in Rome.
Do you know what? Stefano.
My understanding from the Parks and Rec people who, you know, managed the project was that they were not pleased with the way it held up at all.
That was Brielle?
No, because she wasn't involved at that point.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, good. So I would just ask, I would check in with their Parks and Rec committee.
Okay.
And see what they're...
If you do that, Pat, I'll look and see if I can find some other companies, too, that have done projects around...
I mean, it was gorgeous when it was finished, but I think it's more about
longevity and hold up, right?
The way it held up even in the first year.
Well, it's about how they prep the surface is really what it comes down to. That's
and
why
it's
I was
the surface that, that yeah. there's... Yeah. Anyway, I just would check
how
in.
How old is it? I won't.
So they were first in use I think we're now into the third year. No,
okay.
No, and that at the surface they were unhappy with.
So you're going to check for another
year,
contractor?
Yeah, and I'll ask some questions. Okay. Pat's going to check in a little bit with Ro on this, and we'll try to for next week have some other quotes maybe. And
okay,
some info at least.
There's an outdoor court in Greenfield at the dog park.
Yeah, that's. I'm thinking of some greenfield places that I know have been done, so I'm going to reach out, see what I can find. All right, I can do that. All right, surveillance camera policy. Helma started that today, sent it out this afternoon.
I'm sorry.
I haven't had a ton of time to read it.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit thick, so
yeah.
It was a start, and then I kind of stumbled upon it and put something a little bit more together.
Oh, good.
So I was feeling that was a great start, but it didn't feel that we were hitting all the marks that possibly should be hit. So I put together just a draft of something that I can email the folks, or
yep.
I have printed copies of it, too. And it might be more than what we're looking for, or it might be... Okay, I don't know, but I can send it out to y'all.
Yeah,
if
you
want
to do that,
have
her send it out to us. We can review it.
I mean, I'll take the paper.
Yeah. I think that way we can continue the conversation about it.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's great. Thank you.
All right, I'll send
thank
that
you
out.
Both. For a start.
Yes.
Step forward. Maybe if it gets sent out, you send it out right off. We put it on for next week. Maybe even we can bring it for next week, 2 weeks. Sorry. We can bring it to and enough time to sneak in the gym, well, Jacob's Road roof update, I guess, in general. So we have two quotes right now, which I do not think are apples to apples. So I reached out to Tim, I don't know, whenever that was all sent. Very soon. Was that just yesterday or Monday?
It was fairly recently.
It was this week, whatever.
Yeah.
I reached out, and we were supposed to get a third quote, which we haven't seen yet, right, Emma? I didn't miss that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
He came he came yesterday.
Okay, that's good.
And looked and climbed around. And...
So I sent an email to Tim trying to be very specific as to what we need. And when I get the next quote, when I see what that is, if it's still confusing, I think I'm just going to reach out to all of the three roofers myself and make sure that we're actually apples to apples. I don't think that, and I could be wrong, because sometimes I am, but it just doesn't seem that the numbers we have right now are equal. I think we have numbers for the gym, I think we have numbers for the cafeteria, and then I think we have numbers for the rest of the school from one roofing company. And then I think we have a slope of the gym and a slope of the cafeteria from another. And that's the area that's leaking. Those are the two big areas that are leaking, but in the valley. But we need to
we need to get apples to apples on that part of the repair, which is the most eminent
right.
that we have to have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to take a look at all the rest of the number, which is great that we have from one company now. At least we have a budget. And just think about more long-term how we're going to how we're going to find money to cover that, because we're going to have more leaks, as you know, because you've been up there. So I don't have everything for you yet for that one, but hope maybe by next week. I hate to keep bringing it over to the next week,
but if we don't have all the information, then
it hasn't come through. And then we'll have to think about where we're getting the money from.
Well, yes, and if you want to get it now, I'll just say now, this fall, winter, early winter, it'll be quick thinking to get
right.
it on the warrant.
Well, we could explore just knowing that we have a quote that's under whatever, what was it, 30-something thousand?
30-something.
And 35,000. And know that that's the number. That we need to find at a max. If we have someone who comes in less, then great, but that's
mm-hmm.
the number we have as a max right now, a number that we need. And we have different pots that we can take it from, but some of those pots, if they're stabilization accounts, do require the vote.
Well, or free cash requires the vote.
Or take it from free cash, right? Which hasn't been announced yet, that we actually have free cash. But
not be over.
Like what?
So where we started from.
Golly. Look at that.
Now when would this, assuming we have the money today, when would they be able to do this repair?
Well, that's the thing, is we're getting into the time where it's can't. But I guess the temporary repairs are holding up, right? That's what
Tim said. He could not find any wet areas after the storm we had.
So it's a hard rain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess, well, we have 6 more minutes then. Let's just talk right into that conversation about the STM.
Okay.
Since we're talking about dates, because that helps that conversation
uh-huh.
about the roof money. What is our final decision on that date? It's going to be December 9th.
Is it clear that we actually need? I got a loss in the STM conversation about what we were trying to accomplish and did we really need to have one? And
the crux of it is we do to keep Nick and Will on the fire department.
And they don't get covered by whatever Colerain?
No.
No.
Okay, that was the question.
Okay, yeah, no.
Okay.
And to just make the plan, the zoning bylaw changes clean and simple.
Right.
Simpler.
Right.
Is the primary thing, but then on top of that, there's if we're going to transfer the additional money, I don't know, remember, $2,000-$3,000 out of the technology stabilization account into the account that paid for all the new computers, the roof.
Okay, so knowing that it's December 9th,
yep.
What is the date for which we would have to have that information under the warrant?
Well, you would need...
Is the next meeting too far?
No. The warrant would need to be posted by November 25th. That's 14 days. So whatever time you had originally said 6:30 at it, but whatever time. So that time on November 25th, it would have to be posted.
Mm-hmm.
So our next meeting is the 18th. We'd have to make a final decision on the roof and where that money's coming from.
Correct.
So what I can offer is that we I'll keep working with Tim to try to get those numbers kind of more straightened out and come up with some scenarios with Hilma about where the money can come from and send that out to everybody so you have that in advance of the meeting, and hopefully we can make a decision.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
And if something happens, we'll have to sneak in one more meeting that week if we have to.
What time? Do you want to leave the time at 6:30 for the STM?
I'm okay with that.
Fine.
And that's on the 29th you're talking about.
Excuse me, the 9th.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You could tell Mia she can attend her first STM.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And that date works with the moderator?
I thought so. The town clerk was going to check.
Okay.
It works with the town clerk. And the month of December, the moderator is not too available, but she thought perhaps he would be available that evening because he's available after dark.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unless he's successful in his daytime activity.
Oh. I don't
Got
like
it.
That.
Oh, boy.
I don't like that. Everybody knew. It was nice of you to try to hide that direction. But
I know exactly what you're talking. I just put it together in my head.
La, 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 la,
I didn't think,
I know.
I didn't think you wanted a graphic of.
No, but the more I got thinking about it, I said, wait a minute, I know what you're talking about.
The second population has increased on my property heavily.
Don't say that.
Safe zone. Oh, they're going to clear up.
All right. I know, they'll be going to hiding. All right. So
okay.
That's the conversation about STM. Do you need anything else from us now?
No.
On it?
Nope.
So you'll start creating it anyway, so we'll have it.
Yes.
Because we'll actually have to vote it that night, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So this gives planning board time to do whatever they got to do?
Yes.
When they're down a couple of people?
Well, Cindy's doing the hard job.
We can put a little eye contact there. I was going to say, wait a minute.
I think, we're going to have a busy meeting next year.
Okay. All right. Just remember this. You can remind them. The select board functions with three people.
Yes, I can certainly do that. And we will be functioning with three
people. Okay. Yeah, so Cindy already knows pretty much her piece, what she needs to do in terms of the advertising and all of that stuff.
And dates and when stuff has to be done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, you look at it this way, they got two choices right now. There's actually a fallout if something doesn't go right there. Because you could just go back to the way it was.
You can still revert to the first.
Right.
Yeah. But, no, this will work.
Eventually, we'll get it right.
This will work.
I have faith. Are we at 6:30 on the dot? 6:30 on the dot.
Way to do it, Rob.
We have appointment with the Conservation Commission. Come on down.
Closer.
Get right in the back. The meetings are audio recorded for everybody, if you don't know that already.
We saw that Tyson was included in this conversation, so if you want to take care of his issues first so he can get out of here.
So the only thing I asked Hilma to put down, because I wanted to be able to ask a couple questions.
Okay.
two different things that Tyson was going to be involved in, because he's involved with obviously Highway Department, but also the Fire Department. But the Highway Department one is not a ComCom issue anymore because Tyson already talked to Bill, I believe, about this. So that's all. We don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
The only thing that I was hoping at some point, and this came up through Will, and I'm going to let Will kind of talk about it a little bit more, but the fire department, and you know this because this has been an ongoing conversation, mm-hmm. even back when you were sitting on, yeah. On the select board, Brian. The hydrants that the fire department has to take care of. I don't know if I'm trying to understand why there's a challenge in moving forward with the hydrant work. And I don't know if it's lack of ability of fire department to fill out the forms that need to be filled out. I don't really know what it is.
It's routine maintenance.
Yeah.
It requires no permit.
Okay. These are actually putting in new?
Well, there's one that we will be putting in at Mohawk Estates. And Nick and I actually went down and looked at this area. It was probably almost a year ago.
They're the one that's adjacent
to
the
beach. Yeah, we talked about this a year ago.
Yeah, so we met on that.
Yeah.
I know Nick has NOIs he's got typed up that are ready to put in for a couple of them. He just hasn't
right.
put those in.
Okay.
And then the other question, of course, is the Dell, where that whole thing is silted up. Now, of course, yeah. the water's going anyway. But what do we do about that? Because right now you can't get water from it.
But that one was an issue when we looked at that before, because I can't get any equipment down there. That would need a lottery excavator. In order to be able to assess that without causing a big, and that will be CONCOM. That'll be a big project.
Does the pond often have water in it?
That does.
Yeah.
That does, yeah. But that really needs to be dredged, and we'd have to dredge it, and I guess from my understanding there's an issue with silt gathering up above it. There's
yeah.
nothing that gets the silt, so it comes down. So that would need to be dredged drastically, I think, before we even put the money into the dry hydrant. And I'd like, if we were going to do that, I'd like a bed of stone underneath the pipe that goes out. But we got to address, I think, the issue upstream first.
When I was chair of the Conservation Commission and they did that application, in the application they were supposed to put in a four-bay to collect silt.
Okay.
And I thought that was done. And my guess is that it's just completely full.
And that could be the issue.
Yeah.
Irene, we've had two really big flooding storms.
Yeah. So it might be, I'm guessing it's still there, but it needs to be run out.
See, that part was news to me. I was just hearing about this the other day as far as the issue on that. And I know the one, the Dell, I believe, was cracked, or was cracked. Not the Dell, but the causeway.
Yes.
So that would just be repairing what we already have. And that wouldn't be an issue with that.
So are they still thinking putting one of the
pieces
in the beach as well?
Yeah. We want both. So given a major incident, that would allow us to run two sets of tankers and they still get filled in a decent amount of time, and it gives them an outlet
yeah.
so they don't have to pass each other on the narrow roads.
I have, just as a side note, I've been able to work with Tyson a lot. He's been amazing. He's a very creative thinker. He's very cooperative. Sometimes it's tough because we have certain rules with wetlands and stuff. And you've been great for it.
And, would you?
I just wanted to let the select board know that.
No, I'm aware of that. And I just wanted to make sure because sometimes we get multiple different renditions of what's going on.
Right.
And so I felt like, if you guys were coming in anyways, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to make sure everybody's on the same page and we're doing whatever we can do as a team in helping those two entities get the work done that they need to get done. And if there's challenges by anyone in any of that, the department heads, or the fire chief, whatever, if it's a time issue or just challenges in filling out the forms, if there's something that anybody else can do to help, we want to be able to do that. We want to make sure that we're there to help to make things move forward. So I just figured while you're here, it was a good opportunity, because Will had at one meeting said something about the hydrants, and I said, well, I think CONCOM's going to come in at some point, so it'll be a perfect opportunity to just say, let's make sure that, and for Tyson, just if there's issues, concerns.
But luckily, our sister department, being Colerain, I mean, we've got guys that, because this is going to be a weekend, It's going to be a weekend job, probably a Saturday, like we did before. And I told Nick, I volunteered my time, not as a highway super, but as somebody authorized to the highway, my time in the backhoe. I'll come in and run the backhoe on a Saturday to get done what needs to get done. If we've got to haul some stone, we'll haul some stone for the liner. And that's, so he knows he's got that support. We've got guys in Coloring Department that will come up and assist with manpower. We've got, well, we've got plenty of people. It's okay. Just getting everybody together.
Okay.
That hydrant has been repaired at least three times because when they're clearing back the snowbanks, that stuff's been cracked each time. So we need to make that much more visible, really high orange tape or something like that. But all three times it's been broken, it's been clearing, pushing the snow back.
Okay.
Oh. That's all stuff I need to know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good intel. That's what I mean. I think that multiple people can help to get some of it. Because the hydrants are important right now.
They're really
important. I think that's what I keep being told, that we need to get the hydrants back up and service. So.
So I'm not clear as to what's happening with the one at Mohawk Estates. So I remember we talked about this at least a year ago. So how can we help? Where are we with that? I'm not
that,
clear.
The permit. I do know with the previous, I'm not sure what they did, the previous head of Mohawk Estates.
Yeah, there was a change.
We left it before us. They wanted to know what we needed for product. They were going to buy the materials. They were going to pay for the materials. Yeah. And between the fire department and the highway department, we were going to make it happen as far as equipment and time. And now that she's gone, I'm not sure exactly what the status of that agreement is.
So materials weren't purchased to move the...
I'm not positive.
Okay, I don't think so.
Nick would know more on that than I would.
I sent a letter to them last week asking that they contact me so I know who to get in touch with, you know, because there's issues with it. When they release water, they're supposed to notify us. But no one's gotten back to me yet, so it's probably been 10 days, maybe 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, does anyone know who the new president is?
I don't know.
I've heard his name. What was I just talking to about that?
So maybe we should do a reach out.
I think we should do a reach out. I can probably find out.
Yeah.
Let's do a reach out. Move it back up on level of importance if we can. Because we can help if we know what we gotta do. So. All right. I'm good. I feel like at least we're talking about stuff and we can help. And it sounds like you had conversation. We had concern about the road across from Dane's.
Yep. Now
that conversation's taken place.
And now people are seeing my issue with it. Mm-hmm. And why I can't just, it's not a quick, let's just put a guardrail on. The second part to that is when you put a guardrail system up. A guardrail is engineered to hold the weight of a vehicle that the road is actually ready for. We have trucks that run on that road. I can't put something up that I would feel comfortable telling you that's going to stop an 80,000-pound truck. I'm not an engineer. That's above my... And even to put posts in the ground, I can go down in the ground in the dirt maybe 2 or 3 inches without hitting that rock. At first, we thought about, well, maybe we can extend that pipe where it comes out onto the road and fill it. Well, that's, when you came down, we looked at it. It's not a wetlands issue. But then I actually traversed the bank and looked. There's no pipe. That's like a, it's like a man-made box culvert that's made out of flat-laid stone. So I can't extend that.
Yeah.
I can't. And my horror in my mind would be if we even brought somebody else in to drill into those flat set stones. If they disturb those in any way, it's going to take the road, because
mm-hmm.
that's all one system. So that's definitely above my pay grade on that. I mean, I can get a company like Bartlett to come in and look at that, but I think it's going to end up being some kind, it's going to have to be an engineered system, and
probably require a grant.
Yeah. I mean, I could gladly call Bartlett and have him come and look at it and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What would you suggest? It's not...
Well, I think that it's good to have numbers to, you know, like a plan or numbers or something for us to look at when it comes to just being able to plan for down the road. What can
exactly.
we do, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's wasted time.
No, I haven't kicked the project off because it's people's concern, and I'm going to do my due diligence and see what can be done. But I think that would be a good starting point, getting somebody in like Bartlett.
Yeah, to give us the numbers.
Like
I mean, it certainly helps us. Right. One, can we find a grant for it? Two, as it's part of our conversation about the budget. When, you know, we're talking about the budget, we talk about how we're going to do these roads and what complications there are.
Exactly, because we've been down there. I know we met down there a day I went through it just to get over that, okay, if it's going to be a wetlands issue, we better go through it, but it's not.
Okay.
So we have been down there a couple times, and we've taken measurements and looked at a few different ideas in our head, and it just wasn't going to work, so.
Right.
Of course, a new design could make it a wetland issue, too.
It could.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for listening and at least letting us have those little conversations on top of it, just so that things are kind of, I feel like things are moving forward little by little.
We discuss stuff all the time.
Perfect.
It's great.
All right. Thanks, Tyson.
Thank you, Tyson.
Thank you.
All right. So now I turn it over to you guys.
Well, we've been talking about this for a while, the trail work that was done from Flag Hill Road to, the Flag Hill Extension Road or whatever it goes up to Pecumseh, that has a wetlands violation issue on it. And there are some others along the way, too, but I gave Helma some photos. I don't know if
I passed it on to all of them.
Yeah.
So the filling with there would the any work in the wetland needs to go before the Conservation Commission. It doesn't matter whose property it's on, and. This work was done without, notifying the Conservation Commission and filing the correct paperwork. And I don't know if Bill, if you were the first one that saw it, but there is this crossing. You can see this crossing, and that was done. You know, the stream bed was filled. The culvert was laid and the stream bed was filled, and that's a violation of the Wetlands Protection Act.
Because it was done without a permit.
Yeah, because it was done without a permit. And, you know, according to stream crossing standards that are adopted by the state, that culvert is way too small to handle the runoff from that stream.
Probably 20% of wetlands.
Yeah. It's a 12-inch culvert in the. So I'm not sure how big it should be, but that one's very small, way too small.
Well, the real issue with that one is they didn't need to put a culvert there at all. They could have just kept the original width of the stream bed and rocked it on both sides and then crossed it.
I think
so the solution would be not to put another culvert in, but to remove that culvert, build a rock bank on both sides. It's much less expensive than doing a culvert. And then,
so you're talking like bridge bodies?
Yeah, and they can just have a very, very simple 3-foot wide walking path over it that's made out of wood.
Right now you can see from the tracks that people have been driving motorized vehicles over that. And that's not okay.
So just to back up a little bit, this is all taking place on private property. It belongs to Jordan Library. And problematic for him because he helped build that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was told that all the wetland issues had been taken care of by the town. So he was under the impression there wasn't a problem doing the work that he did. I just wanted to make sure the commission was aware of that, that he asked the question and got a wrong answer. And that's important because we have not issued an enforcement order to him, even though he's the property owner, because the commission feels that he was an innocent bystander. Then there was a second order.
Yeah, then it seems to me that they made it that wide so they could go up the road farther with machinery and do this other culvert, which is also not undersized. It doesn't meet stream crossing standards either, which is on the Flag Hill Extension Road, which is a mess. But in this area, there's a huge wetland downstream, on both sides of the road there.
It was a beaver pond.
Yeah.
Somebody removed the beaver dam years ago. So it's right now. Mm. I have no idea who did that. So eventually beavers will come back there. The issue that made it most difficult to deal with was that we told the chair, in fact it's in our minutes of February 2024, that it would require a permit. And they didn't file for it.
So you want to talk about we were trying to find a solution to this of, like, one time we did a retroactive order of conditions for Mohawk Estates for some dam work that they had done without proper permitting.
They had a permit and they did more than they were resources.
So
the situation with this was that I called DEP because I wanted to figure out the best way of handling it for the town in terms of not only cost but in terms of limiting the possibilities of the town getting fined. Russell, about 10 years ago, got fined $25,000 for exactly this. So I called Mark, because I know him well. He's very, very helpful. He said, originally we were thinking we could do an after-the-fact notice of intent. He said that's not feasible because someone can, and he's right, someone can file a notice of intent and then never be able to work. It just goes undone, and you're stuck in the same position. So he said, issuing a friendly enforcement order would do two things. One, it would save you the town. We could direct what needed to be done. In other words, tell the town this is what has to be done. That would keep you from having to pay for a notice of intent to be done, $4,000 or $5,000. And then the town would be responsible for hiring a person like Ward Smith, someone who has similar credentials to mine, to supervise the work. And that way, the town gets out of it really inexpensively. Maybe the town crew could do the work. I'm not sure how we feel about that. They can't access down the extension road because it's literally ditched shoulder deep on me now. We can't get down.
You could come down from Flag Hill Road where the land.
So it's over my head in places where the road used to be. But you can come down the trail.
Yeah. Which they did, obviously, when they did this work.
That seems like the research I did there with Mark was purposely done to figure out the best way for us to proceed in a way that would be the least difficult for the town. If that makes sense.
Yes. One of the questions I have or concerns I have about So an enforcement order has not yet been issued to the town.
No, we wanted to talk to you first before we did that.
When did the violations occur?
About a year and a half ago. I don't know the exact date, but we can find that out from Michael. It was after they received the grant, so there was money to pay for it.
My concern is, are we within the 2-year statute of limitations on an enforcement order?
Under the Wetlands Protection Act, there's no expiration date. We could issue it. DEP recently did one from 20 years ago.
Okay.
There is no expiration date.
Okay.
It was a violation to open until it's resolved.
Okay. I just want to make sure when we get the enforcement order, well, I guess I have to see the enforcement order.
It's a simple 2-page form. It's basically states what the violation is, what the Conservation Commission will require, and a date by which it will be done. That would be now sometime next summer.
Yeah, this is the form.
It is an awkward situation. The Conservation Commission has it.
I just thought from a previous experience I had, there was a 2-year statute of limitations, and so I was concerned that if that's the case, that it, about when the actual violation occurred. I know it's been dragging out. I'm not disregarding that. I'm not saying that the town shouldn't take care of it. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I just want to make sure that we're not doing anything else. I want to make sure that everything that we're doing.
Let me check that with Mark.
That was my bigger concern.
I'll check that with Mark.
I don't want to add to the next thing, because one of my concerns, I was just like trying to think through this, and I said to myself, okay, so if we want to go through like what you were just talking about, like have the town crew go and do the work, well, yes, we could do that under the enforcement order, because that allows us to do that.
Right.
But if we, and then I had this fear that we were outside the statute of limitations, and I said to myself, well, if we're outside of that and can't technically do that to ourselves, then we really can't go and work on it without almost starting from scratch and filing a notice of intent to work on the site as it stands.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like almost starting from scratch? Does that make sense? Like,
DEP recommended doing the enforcement order, so is a way.
Well, yeah, so, and I agree with that, but I just want to make sure that we're not complicating it further by doing something to ourselves that's outside the statute of limitations.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, one that I can present to Mark and get a definitive answer. I do know that they several years ago they issued an enforcement order to National Grid, which was a different company than New England Power, for what that was done in Adams in 1977.
But it might depend on the type of violation.
Still filling a question.
And I don't know. I just want to make sure that when we move forward from here forward,
not locking that ourselves in.
I know. I don't want to have something right.
Can we talk about? I know. And we're discussing getting someone involved that would, you know, look at the problems and come up with a solution to the whatever restoration needed to be done. But if we speculate, can we do that on like removing this bridge, removing the culvert, removing the fill, and restoring the bank to what it was? But I assume that's what this person is going to say. Are we getting into having to create a sedimentation pond or something, or just take it out and don't worry about what goes downstream? Or?
Well, the stream will be restored to its original width, and the elevations around it will be restored to their original elevation, so if it floods, it will just flood naturally.
Well, what about when you're disturbing the fill? That some of that's going to go down.
There'll be siltation control in place.
Like what?
Probably Merapi filter fabric, or else.
And then you pump out
waddles,
the sediment.
Waddles.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in the stream? Or?
Well, this year we could have done it. It was dry for months.
Yeah.
It would never happen.
Yeah.
This year it would have been really easy. No, but we can just pump around it. It's very simple.
Actually pump. Like,
pump it downstream.
Yeah.
Remove that when you're done.
They did that at the Hulberts when they were working on the pine there. Okay, so that's sort of what needs to be done.
Most August, I see the stream a lot. Most August that stream's dry.
This one.
Right. I mean, this is obviously something we can't do
now. No.
But while we're here, all right, so let's just play out the same. We know we can figure out the work that has to be done to correct the issues.
Right.
The actual hands-on work. We just want to make sure that however we move forward, there isn't another hiccup.
Issue. One issue doesn't
create another one.
Right.
But it seems to me like, in my mind, and I will admit that for every CONCOM meeting that I have to go to, I have to try to teach myself something because it's just not something that is in my mind all the time. But it seems like even if we were outside, this is what I want to ask, if we are outside of statute of limitations, we could just proceed as a brand new project, couldn't we? And file a notice of intent as a brand new project.
Yep.
To be able to work there, because if we don't have a notice of intent, we have no way to be able to work there. So we have to figure out how to work there. And if we all agree that we want to get the work done, and I'm only speaking for myself, mind you, because that's what I do, and then I go, are we all on the same page?
Here's what's different. Under the law, the Deep Conservation Commission is the issuing authority, not Mass DEP. So anything, unless Mass DEP appeals it, and I know they won't, anything the commission demands in terms of enforcement, or that's the rule. So you may have worked in a town where the commission didn't feel that way, and it was their authority to say, no, we want you to do this, this, and this. The advantage you have is the commission is telling you what they're going to require ahead of time, and I will confirm that with Mark as well, and so you won't have it.
So we
won't
have what?
Any risk?
You won't have
any
risk.
In the work that we're going to do.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm not questioning that. No, that's what I said. I think that we all are on the same page with, or we'll get on the same page with the actual hands-on work that has to happen, right, in the field work. It's just figuring out the mechanism to make sure we're proceeding in the right mechanism.
And this enforcement order gets filled out. It gets voted on by the commission, and then it's filed with DEP, so if there's anything wrong, they're going to flag it before anything happens.
Okay. They will. And they already know about it.
Yeah, they're aware.
So Mark's on, the reason I called Mark is he's on this.
Yeah, the sticky thing is that it's on the private property, and it's a town problem on private property, so, and that's what we're trying to...
Before we leave tonight, we need to talk about how this trail work is done in the future, moving forward. Because there's more trail work that's going to happen between 8A and Roe. I know there's wetlands involved. And so they need to have the wetlands delineated under their grant. They need to have plans done to present to the commission in terms of a permit and how they're going to mitigate any wetland losses ahead of time, which is what we wanted done this time, it didn't happen. What I'm suggesting is before you approve any work on the next length of trail, that stuff's been covered with the Parks and Rec Commission. I understand that they have to pay for that.
It doesn't, part of the problem is it doesn't come to them.
Well, we're going to have to change that. I mean, that's obviously part of the conversation is how.
how stuff gets projects, just in general, not just necessarily...
Before that, a grant application is submitted.
Correct, because there's a cost associated with it.
Well, you can figure out a budget for having someone walk the trails, a wetland scientist walk the trail, do the delineation, and flag it on the map. And then you have the option of moving the trail a little bit to avoid those areas. Or, you know, if you have to go through it, then you have to do the notice of intent. Or
the mistake that's been made consistently started with FERCOG. FERCOG saw these maps, they're called DEP wetland maps.
Right.
And they literally only cover about 10% of the wetlands in the state, or just the big ones. People see those and they go, oh, I can't tell you how many clients I've represented who ended up with major enforcement orders and major fines because they went to those maps, then did work, and then got caught by the Conservation Commission and got fined by the state. So those maps, you know, that's a whole different story, but they should either take them down or put a giant red flag on them or something. So I think FERCOG and the Recreation Commission, at least initially, before they talked to me at all, believed that, oh, we have the wetlands angle covered because there aren't any wetlands. You know, now we've heard that's not true. So moving forward, the next part of the project, and we had that same problem on that part of the trail that the landowner withdrew the, you know, when I walked that with the Franklin Land Trust, man, there was a lot of wetlands that they were going to have to cross. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the trail was going to be at about a 70-degree angle on bedrock. Mm-hmm. Above it. It's just like, I could see lawsuits everywhere from, you know, people getting injured on that thing.
Go ahead. So how do we move forward on this one issue? I mean, we've been kicking it around a lot. So what are the next steps?
I think the next steps is verification that there's no statute of limitations from the time for which the work was done. And if there isn't, then the enforcement order has to be delivered properly. So that enforcement order goes on Lively's property as a property owner?
It'll be against the town. This one will be against the town.
It doesn't get attached to his property at all.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah, we don't.
Does the enforcement order include both locations?
I just wanted to talk about that before we go too much farther.
Okay.
Sorry.
The
other one is on town property. It's a culvert that was put in. We know it's new because it's a 12-inch corrugated PVC culvert. And the existing ones that were there were all galvanized galvanized steel culverts, you know, corrugated. So this one somebody put in, I assume when they did the crossing that they just did that over by where the beaver pond was.
That's the second one listed here in the notes that you sent.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
This is the only part that I could get a picture of because everything else was in the weeds. And that's the facing towards. That's towards where the beaver pond was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure what we feel about this one. I mean, what would they do? There's another culvert that runs kind of 45 degrees to this that must not have worked or something.
This was put in a place where there wasn't a culvert before.
Yeah, it was. Well, the other culvert comes in not too far
ahead
of it, but it goes up at an angle.
I think the way we deal with that is we wait till we get the. I mean, I think I know what should be done, but I'm in a tough spot here. I know exactly what should be done, but because I represent the commission, I can also work on this project. But essentially what can be done is they can size a larger culvert that doesn't meet stream crossing standards, and they can make a statement that it's not economically feasible to do that. Or they could do what they're doing with the other culvert, and that's open the stream back, bed back up to its original width, and just make a crossing over to the top of it.
You let the water run over the road? Mm-hmm. Or do nothing. I mean, that's not, you know, if you just left it in place, the water eventually would run over.
Just
water.
Out. Yeah.
So maybe doing nothing is the...
Pardon me?
Well, they're trying to decide how they want to handle it.
Yeah, on the second issue, this is on the Flag Hill Extension Road that goes up to Pecumtech Bridge. This is on town property. And it's a new culvert that was put in. It looks like it was intended to replace an existing galvanized steel culvert, also 12-inch diameter. And Bill is suggesting that it could be removed and just allow the water to run over the road. But if you're going to do that, you might as well just, in my opinion, I don't know what the, whoever does the restoration evaluation would have an opinion on this, but I would just leave it in place, let it get plugged up, let the water run over the road. And
thank you.
The other one is more of a concern because it's on private property. Part of it runs right over the wetlands. You can see where all that mud is.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is too wide. It allows ATVs and mm-hmm. anything
that's
to run over.
That's the first one.
So in my opinion, that one is a more serious issue.
Because
yeah,
it leads to other problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does the enforcement order indicate how the issue should be resolved, or just that it needs to be resolved?
I think it's just we'll say it needs to be resolved.
It won't be that specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll just say that it needs to be resolved. It'll say that it needs to be. The end result needs to be what natural protection.
Okay, and who determines, who has the final say on how this is going to be resolved?
Technically, we're supposed to hire somebody to do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
you will have to hire somebody
to do that. Okay.
And then the commission will approve those plans.
Okay. So that's what we're agreeing to do.
There's two people that work in this area. You can ask both of them.
But that's the direction that we're headed. Once we find out that we're not in a statute of limitation on this particular violation.
Okay.
Or not.
No, okay. I don't understand, and I guess I just need to read through everything again. An enforcement order does not get attached to the property for which it was done?
It can be, but...
That's the decision of the Conservation Commission?
Well, that would be this on this particular issue, yeah.
Yeah, there would be a copy.
You have to pay to get it removed, too.
It will be on file with DEP. That's
So here's the bottom line. If it ends up being required that happens, then my opinion is the town would be responsible for the cost of filing it and unfiling it. So you file what you do, you file the work. As an attachment, it's like a lien, and then you remove it when the work's done. And then it's not that expensive. $200.
Mm-hmm.
Does this even need to be filed with DEP?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
And if it's something that it gets attached to.
I'm pretty sure that the commission does not have to require that it be attached to the DEP. Their option.
And if it is something that gets attached to this property and then it gets unattached or whatever, is that something that then needs to be disclosed when that particular homeowner may go to sell their home?
Yeah, it would, yeah.
There's no home there.
Oh, there's no home, it's just land.
I don't think that's... There's
wondering if there's long-lasting effects of it being associated with that particular property.
Here's the problem. Because there used to be a road there, that's been the part where the beaver pond was. People have been driving through it for years. It's like an ongoing activity. So that's not our concern. What we're concerned about is new work, which is the trail, and only the work associated with the trail because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's regular. It hasn't been regular.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the concern is about future work.
Yeah.
Right, understood. That's kind of separate from what we're trying to decide tonight.
Right.
Right?
So
okay.
There's always, one of the problems that Brian brought up that's really, I was down there the other day and there were six people in UTVs driving back and forth and through the wetlands, and it's just like an attractive nuisance now. And there's a big sign somewhere where it is that don't drive on these trails, but that's almost like an invitation to drive on the trails.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the guys, and they were beyond rude about
sure.
the whole thing. That was private land. If that was Conservation Commission, and I could have literally thrown them off, but I'm the agent, but that was on private land. But, that's going to continue. That's the other thing, is maybe with where this crossing is, maybe we could put a barricade up and only allows people to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't drive a vehicle through it, but you can walk through it.
Okay.
Maybe just some big rocks.
And on
the trailhead, that's where they would.
The entrance from
Flag Hill
Road.
Yeah.
Most of them come down behind my land. There's a road that is called Hager the Hager Lot.
Yeah.
The trail that goes all the way down there. Most of the traffic comes from Mohawk Estates down that trail.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes in from the backside.
Yeah, but they go all the way through because there's been complaints about that before.
Yep.
That they'll come down and zip right across Flag Hill Road.
Yep. Oh, I caught them on my property.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And it's not that close to the road.
Mm-hmm.
To their road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you stuck on, Robin?
In the enforcement order, there's a section here that says complete the attached notice of intent.
That's if it's required.
So that doesn't have to be required?
Nope.
So how do we know what's required and what isn't?
They're going to fill it out. They've got to fill this out.
You've got to fill it out.
CONCOM has to fill this out to serve us.
All right.
As Bill said, this is in our purview. It's a town issue, not a state issue.
All right. Okay.
What is the difference between an after-the-fact notice of intent and just a notice of intent?
After-the-fact notice of intent is an irregular, not accepted practice to allow someone to correct a mistake. So there has to be, in this case, it would be, in the case of the DM of Mohawk States, they had a notice of intent that they did much more work than they had permit to do. And their thought was, well, we were there anyway, so we did all this other work. So we made them come back to us, pay a whole new fee, do it all over again with the actual work that was done. It had been completed. There's wing walls and cement and all kinds of stuff. The DEP would rather see that than nothing.
Would rather see an after the fact than nothing.
So why is this enforcement order the better way to go versus
because the notice of intent and all the rigmarole that goes with it would cost the town at least $12,000 to $14,000.
Okay. So this is the least expensive way to go.
And it's a relatively small area that's impacted. I mean, it's not, it's not a huge project like the dam. it's
the average wetland scientist makes $150 an hour. And it adds up to really fast.
Mm-hmm. So we want to make this go away as cheaply as possible.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also that whenever a grant application is submitted, that it includes a budget for a wetlands delineation in it, mm-hmm. or evaluation.
So I think it would be really great to have something in writing from the Conservation Commission addressing the mm-hmm. what should happen in the future.
Actually, I think we have that in the
we need to send a letter to the board.
Because then we can act.
Right.
You know, so with our committees.
Pam Porter, a member of our Conservation Commission, took all our notes for the whole project and arranged them out. It really was, it's quite lengthy, but explains the whole process and what, you know, even going into the future, what should be required. So we could probably just forward that.
I'll draft it in the letter form.
Yeah, I'm not questioning any of the what happened. I think something that's really concise, easy, you know, in the future, these are the steps that should be taken.
Yeah.
That information then lets us have, one, a guide for ourselves, and two, something that we can officially hand off to, in this case, Parks and Rec, and say, okay, you want to apply for this grant? This is what you need to cover. This is what needs to be in there. You know, we have that piece of paper. Because things get lost in translation between entities that it's got to be in writing.
I think there was so much enthusiasm to get the project done.
Yeah. Right.
Some major stuff got neglected.
I mean, it is a great thing that they've done. I mean,
but right.
Just kind of follow the rules.
Right. Okay. All right. Will.
Any questions?
Elisa.
No, I've asked mine, and I think we're clear about the next two steps that need to happen.
Yeah, perfect.
So
okay.
I'll get us a mark this week.
Okay. All right.
And maybe what I'll do is I'll do it in an email and copy the select board so that when he responds, you'll get a response.
That would be great.
Yeah, it makes it quick. Yeah.
Okay.
Because then we're not missing any time, even though obviously the work isn't going to happen until next year.
Yep.
But so, at least we'll.
But at least we've got it
a direction.
Memorialized.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the time spent on this.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. And thanks for listening to the other stuff. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Confirmed the date of the STM, right? We did everything we had to do with that?
Yeah. We talked about surveillance.
Did we already do what?
Surveillance.
So Pat was asking a question.
That's
well,
what she did.
Had you done surveillance, I must have been out the summer.
Yes,
that was when you were.
We basically just said that we set some templates to review, and then we're going to bring it up at the next meeting after we review the templates that Hilma created one, then Elisa created another, and Will and
based
I
on
are
Hilma's
gonna,
thank you.
Will and I are gonna review and try to have it for the next meeting. Okay, folks. The mail. So we had part one, which is started with some emails from Mike and regarding what we just talked about, Shapiro Land, ConCom. So we talked about that. The next was the court resurfacing proposal that we've discussed. Then we have Senator Mark for the remarks and refreshments in Heath. I don't have it in front of me. The date is
Monday, November 17th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m.
Right.
Here.
Anybody that's interested?
Yep.
And then there's also, the next one is from Martha Thurber, and this is the town officials meeting. This was a request for us to respond, Select Board Finance Committee members, for the multi-town meeting. And there were some dates and times, and if you're interested in attending, hopefully you filled out the Survey Monkey or whatever it was, and we'll get back and get a date and a time. And Franklin County Technical School informational community forums. Get some FYI on that, some dates. You've got an update on the AT&T wireless project.
Mm-hmm.
Are they actually here now? In the next couple of weeks. It was in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's 2 to 3 weeks, and it was October 23rd. So
October 23rd.
Soon. Anytime
soon.
Now.
Coming soon.
Right. Coming soon to
coming
a town near you. Then we had DOR.
No, this is not ours.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not ours. This is the, I know, I get so excited. This is Mohawk Trail Regional School District. Cash, recash, notification. We have our own, too. We're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Franklin County Solid Waste Management District. These are all FYIs for you to read. Program Director's Report, Executive Director's Report, and Senator Mark's November District Office Hours. And then the other thing listed in mail and email was the ConCom information that we went over, the update with the photos, and the West Main Street update photos that we looked at with Tyson about the road. So those things we've all talked about. And then today we got our own free cash notification of $249,209. Yay! Free cash.
Now, is that mostly due to the windfall from the real estate auction? Where the free cash come from?
Well, free cash comes from multitudes of different places, but I have already started reviewing every line of the report and getting information to bring back to you all from our accountant.
Oh, so absolutely.
I have already started that process. And at, whether it's at the next meeting or in the next couple meetings, we were going to actually put this on the agenda and have a conversation about free cash, why we're in better shape this year than we were last. Last year was just not a good year. But I'm trying to get a little bit more information to understand a couple of things that I need clarification on. And then I can better talk about it. We would hope to see a continuation of more free cash because we are starting, some of it is any money that's in the budget left over, right, that isn't spent. So the more we put some monies in the budget and then we hopefully don't spend them, that might be. I didn't get to see what the very final budget looked like for what it ended when for this to be calculated.
Right.
And I've asked Dave for that so I can take a look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to put together a little packet for everybody and we're going to have a conversation about it. That sounds great.
Because I'm curious. I mean, we had a land auction.
Right.
And we got it in under the wire before the new state
right.
law came. So at some point, that money will come back.
Come back to us, yes. And I don't know
whether
it's here now. Huh?
Well, I mean, it was always here, but
where it gets...
It's been on the books, and that's like $92,000.
And is that part of that?
Well, I don't know. That's
one of the questions I've...
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. That's one of the questions I've asked.
But
there's... If you look at the actual report, you'll see there's some... receivables that we authorize being raised by tax to pay off and those are still on there. So I don't know if they have to show up this one more year and then they come off the next year. I have a couple things that I have to get education from Dave too, and so I've started that process. I'm also going to share, when I get a couple more answers, if people remember last year, I did a five-year recap of free cash. I did one of my handy-dandy little spreadsheets for everybody. And now I'm going to update it for 6 years, and I'm going to send it out to you.
Great.
So that you'll have that in one place. So we're going to do a whole conversation about this. And I really would also like to include Finance Committee. So I don't know if that conversation happens when we have our first meeting with FinCom. That might make good sense. Because we normally have a little quick meeting with them soon to rev up for the budget season.
Maybe December 5th. Right. Like not the next meeting, but
the one. That's what I'm thinking. Because that gives me enough time to be able to get all my stuff, all my questions answered from Dave. And continue to make my handy dandy charts that I love. Because I pulled it right up today to look at it. Me and charts.
You're on it.
I like them. I like numbers. I don't like to see things that stick out as different. So unless there's a good reason for it. That's why I like charts. But that's good news. We have that, so that's monies that we have. Yeah, that's good news.
Really, really great.
That's what I have. Next meeting. I think for each of the meetings, we should still just have a little town coordinator transition update.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if there's nothing, we'll say there's nothing, but at least we have it on there. The next meeting, we should have an update on the status of the items that need to be addressed in the lease, because that meeting will be after the date.
When is the next meeting? I just wanted to confirm.
November 18th.
It is the 18th.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the one that I won't know if I'm going to be able to be at or not until
that's right.
Probably that day.
Did we want to?
So we had talked about doing it on the 17th because of that, but I don't want to screw up everybody's schedule just because I don't know what's happening.
Right, so the 17th worked for you?
It did.
Does that work for everybody else?
Yeah,
it
worked for me.
Homo?
Right, because this is
the reason
I have 17. Yes, I'll
go that
night. I
think so. Do we want to just switch it?
I'd be fine.
You guys can let, yeah, I'm sorry. I won't know
that
day.
I kind of knew that, right?
Well, if the 17th is a definite for you, Lisa.
Yeah, it's definite.
So we can switch it. All right, let's switch it.
Mm-hmm. All right, 5 o'clock.
Done.
Thank you.
All right.
Now what were we talking about next week?
Well, everything from the lease has to be taken care of by the 15th, so we'll have a little update on that on the 17th.
Yep.
The court, the basketball court. Or whatever it is now, pickleball court, whatever everybody does.
Center court.
Their surveillance camera, and the roof, all that stuff.
The roof. STM. More
STM.
I also will be ready to give you a report of everything I found out about declaring town property a bona fide park.
Okay.
Ooh.
Very good. And then whatever else comes up. Mm-hmm. I will say, I think there was one email that we all got. Did we all get? the bridge concern? The lights, the people not stopping at the lights?
Oh, I did, yes. I emailed the... I copied you.
Okay.
I think I just copied you.
So...
And sent it to Tyson and John.
Okay. So just an FYI, there's been some circumstances of people just not stopping at those, running those red lights at the bridge, and people finding themselves on the bridge face-to-face with another vehicle, or they are close, whether it's right off the bridge or right on the bridge or whatever. So just kind of letting you know that that's becoming... People are must be becoming impatient, and they don't want to wait through those red lights now. So, and it's becoming disturbing to some people, especially our elders in town, who have been in the situation, find themselves in the situation. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's blind coming in one direction. You can't even see that someone...
If you're coming,
That's what happened.
That would be terrifying.
So a certain time of day,
at any age.
It is. It's happened to me twice already.
I don't think it's a certain time of the day.
No, it's any
very,
time.
Yeah, it's
very... So the light... Is there a way to shorten the light cycle? Because it is a significant...
Not to go through, but you know, in other situations, they set up
like a cat triggers. If somebody shows up.
If someone shows up,
right?
But this is a much more complex because it's actually a four-way. It isn't just a two-way.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think that people just need to.
Night, Pat.
Thank you. I don't know that there's a solution other than continuing to tell Tyson and tell John and
shortening the light cycle you don't think would help? Because
I don't know if
you have like really quick red lights and there's some that are a little bit longer.
It takes considerable time to get across that bridge.
It does.
It takes more time to get through there than just a normal,
especially for some people who might be driving slow and be nervous in that tight space.
Tight space.
Slower than maybe some of the rest of us.
What are you trying to say?
You might
go
faster. With potholes. You might go faster. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we could ask that, but
it's timed by how long it takes
to go across. Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's fair enough. That's a great point. I didn't think about that.
I mean, I mentioned the pothole situation. It's got to be taken care of before winter. It's going to kill our plows. It's not plowable the way it is.
Their goal is to get the one side done before winter.
Oh.
So we will be driving on the
new side.
The new side and the pothole side will be what's
the under control.
Winter could be next week.
I know. And then they're screwed.
What is the winter target that they're talking about?
I'm just saying, I don't know. I have no... You would have to go ask them. I can tell you that they have had like three times as many workmen on the site the past 2 weeks.
I asked for the contact for this. Who has the contact?
Tyson.
Okay. Tyson.
Yeah, there was one day.
Text him right now. He's just out there.
Concrete truck and the state guy and people parked halfway up the road.
Yes.
So,
right.
Yeah,
sometimes I've come by in the morning and there'll be like 8 to 10 cars or vehicles and there only used to be three.
Yeah.
For the bridge project.
So,
could I ask a question about the schedule, please? On Tuesday, December 9th, which now you're saying is the STM at 6 p.m., right?
6:30.
Will there also be a select board meeting?
Yeah.
And that will start at 5?
We're not going to have a select board meeting that day?
Well, that's the off week.
Oh, is it?
That is the off week.
Oh, yeah, so no.
We have select board.
So no, it's just going to be the STM.
Okay.
STM
on.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. At
6:30.
What?
December 2nd is a regular meeting.
Okay, all right, thank you. And on the 9th?
The 9th at 6:30.
At 6:30 is STM. Just the STM. Thank you very much. Because originally there was a question of having the STM.
Right, that was on a different day.
Earlier.
In November,
yes. Yes, right. Yes, yes. Thank you. Yeah. I'm caught up now.
And then December 16th will be a regular select board. Yes.
So I just asked Tyson for that contact. I'm going to reach out to them because I wanted to before and I just didn't get the contact info just to get like an update
there
as to where we are with that project.
What, is he coming in?
Tyson's walking in.
Because I just texted him.
He got your da-da-da-da.
I don't need it right now.
I emailed the one before.
Yeah, I don't know where I put it. Huh?
I said I'll resend it.
Yeah, thank you. I think I might have erased it by mistake, thinking it was an old contact.
They changed, you're talking about the DOT person. They change them periodically. They don't always come.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with whoever, and if they change.
Maybe you should be able to send you the right direction.
Okay. You noticed after I emailed that night we were here about those signs being on Avery Brook, that they,
sure enough,
they were gone.
Yes.
Sure enough. At night. You like that?
Yep.
And this morning when I drove down through, I'm like scouring and looking at the butt ends of those trees that are cut, and I'm photo taking. And then I have a digital date as to how long they've been sitting there, and I'm going to send another note. I have to do it. One of them was so close to the road. It was a big, big log. All it would take is for someone to have to swerve just a tiny bit
because of an animal or something.
Right, boom, right into it.
I had a chat with, it's John, who is kind of overseeing the whole, you know, he actually tagged the trees.
Yep.
He did the plan.
That's the guy who I was talking
about.
I can't remember.
And he's Stanley. So there's two different companies that are actually doing the work. And it's his, and it's another one, Eco something,
yep.
The white trucks. But I talked to John because he was out almost in front of our house. They've tagged three more trees after chatting with the Gilberts, big, huge maples that are declining.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to take those.
Ooh, those big ones there.
The three that are right there, but
yeah.
they're in tough shape.
They really are.
So they're going to take them. So I grabbed him while he was there, and I said, could you please tell me who is responsible for removing the wood? Is it your organization, or is this a separate part of the project? Because one of the workmen that took down our tree said, oh, that's not our job, that's National Grid, that's something else. So I asked John, he said, no, I'll have the trucks up here. He said, I was hoping to have them here last week, but probably next week. And he said, but we need to give residents time to take the wood that they want. And I said, but no one is going to take these huge things that are basically sticking out into the road, and a lot of them are, it's deadwood, it's punky, nobody's going to want it anyway, and it's a hazard. And he said, well, we'll try to get to it next week, which actually would be this week. So I don't know, but I did notice that they've been, just in the last day or so, they've been repositioning a lot of these. They're like stacking them neatly instead of before they were
crazy.
All
right.
Over. That's because that was part of my conversation with this. I have Mike. That's who I deal with for National Grid. And Mike seems to be the one who gets things. That Mike was given to me from, what's that woman's name?
Rosa.
No, the one who comes here. What?
National Grid. And she lives. She lives.
Rosa.
Is it Joanne or something? Joanne.
DeRose. That's the last name.
Yes.
She sent me to Mike. Mike Gallant.
Yeah, I got John's number.
And
he's a forester.
Right.
We moved a few things to the backhoe because we had to. I wasn't going to work for him. We had to kick him off.
Well, Mike Gallant is the forestry supervisor for National Grid. So when all else fails, you go to Mike Gallant, because then you start saying things like, the other day I watched the bus have to swerve almost off the road. It's amazing how certain things kick them and they show up.
Yes.
Because that's what I watched. I wasn't lying. I exactly.
John Keegan is the engineer on that.
Huh?
John Keegan is the engineer on MassDOT.
You're
going
to send that to me?
Is that what you want?
His email. Do you have his email or only phone? That's what. All right, what, John?
John Keegan.
Keegan. All right, number?
413.
Yeah.
652.
652.
5581.
And he's Stanley, right?
Okay.
He's with Stanley.
No, that's the bridge guy.
No, that's the bridge guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. A different John. Anyway, I did make the comment. I said, it's a problem. It's really going to be a problem for the plows. And it snows early up here.
Yeah, no, I must have another note.
So.
Like, yeah.
Anyway.
Because that seems to get the quickest. Okay. All right, what else, everybody?
Just waiting for you.
If there's nothing.
I'm just waiting for what?
We are worried.
I'm going to
activate EOC at about 10.
Well, you are going to do it.
You take a personal day on Monday.
That's pretend.
And if I feel like it, I might take a personal day next Friday, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
Boy, she's getting personal.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Use them up.
Well, yes, I'm using them up. And so Monday I'm coming back from Maine.
Oh, yeah. Nice. All right, let's get out of the meeting here.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn at 7:43 p.m.
I will second that.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Elisa, aye.
Will, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you all.